Blog Talk Radio.
They were saying the campers were disappointed or whatever.
recent articles have, you know, been let out by GMs talking about how many red flags this guy has on him. What do you guys take on Johnny Manziel text? You know, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, you get sent home from the Manning Passing Academy. It's never a good look. His roommate, A.J. McCarron, said he tried to wake Manziel up. I mean, that says it all right there. It's just, you know, you're just, you know, you're not being, you're supposed to be accountable. You're at a passing academy. The academy depends on you. The kids attending the academy depends on you, and you kind of let them down. You're irresponsible. You know, everybody's like, oh, he's living his life, let him be a kid, blah, 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 this and that. But you're draft eligible going into the season, so it's, you know, it's important for you to do the right things, especially when the NFL is looking at it. People will try to say he needs to live his life and just leave him alone, but they jump on everybody else for lesser things. And the guy just has to be accountable. But you know how society is. Oh, we like him, so this is why he does do X, you know, as opposed to Y. We always defend and we make excuses for those who we approve of and who we like.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling to me that he would have chosen this event. You're at the Manning Passing Academy. You know, Mannings are, you know, pretty much like one of the royal families of football. Your roommate is A.J. McCarron, Captain America, you know, squeaky clean, you know, probably about to be three-time NCAA champion, you know, Dayton, Miss Alabama. And you're out partying and can't even get up to make it to the camp. I mean, it's just, I mean, that type of decision-making, when somebody's doing it this early, like I said, at an event like that, you know, this, like I say, you got, you know, he's had this all offseason to party. Let's be honest. This isn't just, you know, a kid being a kid. Like I said, you got to look at, you know, first of all, you know, you got to look at, like you say, you know, you draft eligible. This is going into your career. It is what you're planning on doing, you know. And it's, like I said, it's just mind-boggling. It's like you couldn't have waited 2 days to go out and get blitzed. You know, it's like you had to do it there. And, you know, and like I said before, where you have to leave the camp. You know, it's like I say, it's just major, you know, like I say, major red flag. That's besides, you know, the assault that he had put on him before the season that the media, you know, conveniently overlooked, you know, but, you know, before the Heisman Trophy winning season that nobody wanted to talk about. Mike, what do you think about this Johnny Manziel guy?
Well, it's kind of, all this kind of new to my ears on this and that, but if it tries to be true, like, wow, you know, you still young, you know, he won the Heisman. Maybe, you know, he kind of maybe has ego, say, hey, I'm Johnny Manziel. I'm the Heisman Trophy winner, you know. Hey, just, you know, sometimes how he maybe handled it, the success of his fruits, you know, maybe, you know, I don't need that, you know, his ego. Maybe he's starting to get a real big ego of it now. That was true. That, so hopefully that's something. If it is true that he can recommend with that, saying that, hey, you know, you can't do things like that, you know, especially, you know, if you're going to some academy where you were going to be throwing, or you don't know if he was either helping young kids there or be one of the guys participants to learn from, you know, the quarterback like Peyton and Eli. I mean, that's solid. You know, price is not to learn from those guys, you know.
Well, let me ask you this: with a guy like Johnny Manziel, who is already an interesting person coming into this draft, you know, people don't know if he can play quarterback. You know, he's going to be one of those guys. Looks like he's going to be a make or break kind of guy. And now that he's having these character issues, would you feel safe with your team drafting him, Mike? Maybe, like, let's say not even if he's a first-round pick. Let's say, because I can't say Mike, he's not going to be a first-round pick. You know, on some people's boards, he's a first-round pick, but, you know, it's, you know, that's hype. But let's say, you know, top three. Let's say let's say the Bears have a number two, low round number two pick, and Johnny, you guys need a quarterback. You know, Jay Cutler, you ain't cutting it. And Johnny Manziel on the board. He's the best available quarterback. What do you do?
You put me in a tough question, but I would say with Johnny Manziel, I'll be saved at least another 2 years. I was not so maybe taking him right now, saying he's a first-round pick just as yet. I have to see more making that. But let's say he has another one of those years, I still question if he could be an NFL starting quarterback.
I'll still have
my questions.
You're basing this on his character, on his body, or his ability?
This is questions on his ability. Is he a starting quarterback? And is he a first round? You know, I would say I wouldn't put him in a first round as it yet. I got to see more for me to say that.
Same question to you, Tex. What do you think about that?
Well, it just depends on the team. You know, it depends on when they evaluate players. Nobody evaluates players in the same manner. They all do some of the same things. But, you know, it depends on the evaluation process that teams are looking into. How he fits with the organization, how he fits within the scheme. You know, is he the coachable type of guy? We see him as more of a project that maybe we can get something out of, or maybe he can come in and play for us immediately. And let me tell you, I think Manziel is talented. I think he might be a little raw right now. That he has work to do, and he's doing it. He's working out with George Whitfield, quarterback coach, big name quarterback coach. He's working on what he needs to work on, so he's putting in the work. I think there's some upside there. Yeah, I would definitely take a chance on him, but you know, But like I said, we're not talking about me. I'm just talking about whoever I'm with, how we're going to evaluate him, how we're going to break him down, and how's he going to fit with the team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, moving on from Johnny Manziel.
What about you, Cali, Mike? What do you think about Manziel? Would you take him?
I look at him, you know, like I said, he's, like Tex said, he's a very talented guy. You know, if you're in the right position and you feel that he's the right player, I think, you know, like I said, if he proves he can keep, you know, proves he can keep himself, you know, off, you know, off TMZ and off, you know, out of the media's eye in a negative way, you know, I think you have to take him. But, you know, like I say, some of these guys, you know, some of these guys, you know, it can work, you know, it can either work good or bad for him to be, you know, to be in the media, you know, to be in the media's eye. Some people, you know, they use it to their advantage, and, you know, and some people, you know, it becomes a boon. Unfortunately, what I'm starting to hear a lot of Johnny Manziel being associated with, and this, you know, hasn't been warranted, you know, by his play, but just by his off-the-field actions and character, is Ryan Leaf. You know, Ryan Leaf was another guy. I don't know if you guys had that much chance to watch him, but, you know, I see him when he was at Washington State. And he was an excellent quarterback, you know, excellent arm. You know, like I say, it was really a tough choice, you know, for teams, you know, between him and Manning, you know. And, you know, like I say, he got an OD, came to San Diego, you know. And mostly, you know, like I say, he wasn't a bad quarterback, you know, but he just couldn't keep his head together. You know, I don't know if you guys, you know, he was arguing with reporters, fighting, you know, then he had all these off-the-field issues. You know, then, it, you know, now it turns out he's having drug issues, which he was probably having all along. The program is probably covering it up. But, you know, like I say, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, certain things like that, especially, it's not as bad as it used to be because, you know, now you have the rookie scale, but, you know, you've got to keep eye on it. Nobody wants a black eye on their franchise. You know, nobody wants a, you know, Aaron Hernandez situation where you got a dude going to jail or something amazing happening. And, you know, not just bringing your whole program under question of, you know, how you guys watch any players or what, you know, what have you covered up or, you know, or this and that. So, you know, like I say, it depends on the team and it depends on how, you know, how Manziel reacts, you know. I mean, like I say, he has a chance this season, winning cures all. So, you know, if he comes out and dominates again, you know, it's going to be hard, you know, it's going to be hard for anybody to bet against him. Right now, speaking of top SEC players, we're going to move over to the other side of the ball. I want to talk about Jadeveon Clowney. He had a pretty interesting pro day. I mean, a pretty media day for SEC media. He was telling the guys, certain quarterbacks he thinks are afraid of him and, you know, what kind of player he is. You kind of really got to see what kind of guy he was. And also, the old ball coach came out and said that he ran a 4.440, and that's weighing in, and I believe he was weighing in at around 276, 280. And I just want to know, what do you guys think about this guy? And comparing him with some of the other picks we know are going to probably, chances are going to be coming out in 2014, especially the quarterbacks. When you have this kind of athlete, you know, what do you do? Do you take him, you know, instead of a guy who you might think might be a franchise quarterback? Is Jadeveon, is he about as can't miss as we've seen in a while? You know, what do you think about this guy, Tex?
I think he's the top pick coming out if he stays healthy and everybody else stays healthy. I don't know if there is a better player in America. You're looking at the NFL. I think you got some quarterbacks out there that'll project that'll come out in 2014 might be franchise quarterbacks, but you understand how the pro game works. You know what Jadeveon Clowney is. He's a pass rusher. So either you're protecting the quarterback for the most part or you're putting the quarterback on his butt. So, you know, if it comes to that, then it's Jadeveon Clowney and then it's everybody else. I'm definitely taking him number one overall. It's the only thing he has to work on is in the run defense. Sometimes, you know, he kind of runs and maybe not really runs himself out of the play, but kind of, you know, he'll try to go around the blocker instead of stack and shed, and he can do it. He can do everything. So he has a little bit of work to do there, but his first step is just his first step, his acceleration, his explosion, his balance. His transition from speed to power, power to speed. I mean, it's amazing, you know? So I couldn't see anybody else going number one overall, especially a pass rusher of his caliber.
Who do you compare him to NFL either now or previous times?
Well, you know, the somebody's going to compare him to Jason Pierre-Paul. I think he's closer to Julius Peppers, although I don't think he's the type of personality that Julius Peppers is. I don't know if he is the type of leader Julius Peppers is. But as far as physicality and just how he plays, I'd say Peppers.
Just know that everybody
that's 6'6", 270 pounds is going to be compared to Jason Pierre-Paul for whatever reason. They compare an handsaw to Pierre-Paul.
6'6"?
I say Peppers.
It's interesting you're comparing to Peppers. You know, Peppers was such an imposing physical, just phenom. I mean, he was, you know, power forward on, you know, UNC's basketball team, you know, 40-inch vertical, whatever. And it's weird, you know, like I said, I guess, you know, that would be, you know, maybe Jadeveon as close as comparison. I don't know why, but Jadeveon just seems a lot more sleeker than Peppers to me. I don't know why. Peppers just always seems so big, man. Even though I think he used to weigh in at maybe around like 280, you know, to you know, around there. But it just seems like he was just so much bigger than everybody else. You know, moving that fast, yeah. It was just like, you know, yeah. Like yeah. Wow. But you know, like it just maybe it seems, you know, maybe it's just their body makeup, but it seems like your David was just so much sleeker. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna go ahead and bring in the Mouth of the South here, Clausel Mathis.
Got that right.
What's going
good.
On, man?
What is good? What is good? Glad to be
all
back.
All right, all right.
Busy man. I'm a busy man, but hey, you know what? I'm making time for this right here.
All
y'all
right,
talking about Jadeveon Clowney? I just jumped in the conversation.
Let me post this to you guys. Like I say, I don't know how much I can. Why is his name so? Who's the coach over there at South Carolina? What's his name?
Steve
Spurrier.
Oh, cool. I don't know how much I can trust Spurrier. You know, he's a very cagey kind of guy. But 4-4. I don't know how much I can trust that.
I don't trust that either.
I remember, you know, back when we were at FAMU, you know, back when we were at FAMU, Big Kev, who used to play on FAMU's football team, he made a very good point. Because I forget who we were talking about. We were talking about somebody big that was supposed to be running a 4-4. Kev was like, you know, I'm around that size. And he said, if I'm running a 4-4, I always remember this, he said, if I run a 4-4, y'all need to give me the rock. They got to show me that they can stop me. And I mean, to me, that makes sense. If a cat that size is running a 4-4, don't he have to have the ball in his hands? I mean, doesn't he have to put points on the board? I mean, what do y'all think about that? I mean, that, like I said,
well,
here's
the thing. It's just what you are. And this is what my coach told me. When I was entering high school and I was placed on defense, I was pissed off because I wanted to be on offense. I wanted to carry the ball. I wanted to be the star. He pulled me into the office one day and he said, "You know why you're on defense?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because we put our best 22 athletes on the defensive side of the football, regardless." And it didn't register with me at that time, but now it registers. I mean, it registers with me now. I mean, I don't know if you look at a guy's 40 time and say he probably should be carrying a rock or catching a rock. I mean, you got Dwight Freeney at a 4.39 coming out, and a Hall of Fame pass rusher. I mean, if you had, I mean, that's
Dwight Freeney ran a 4.39.
Yeah. Yeah, you go look it up.
I'm going to look it up, man. On the NFL Combine, at the Combine time, or is it at the, you know, Syracuse camp?
I'm not sure it was a pro day or it was the Combine, but that
I
was
go by
why,
Combine numbers.
But that was why. But hey, Clausel, that's you don't remember? You don't remember it? That's why he rose to 11th overall, because he ran so fast. And he had a killer spin move.
No, I'm not
and
saying he's not a fast guy. I'm not saying he's not a fast guy, but 4.3.
That's how fast he was. I remember them talking about it. That's why he boosted. So that's why his start went up so high, because he was a 4.3, 4.4 type of guy.
Yeah, he did kind of.
He ran a four four. He ran a four four.
That helped him out.
At
255 pounds. 4.4, 4.4, 4.4, 4.39. That's basically the same thing.
Yeah, 255 pounds. Okay. Well, if what's this guy's name? You have any more to say, Tex? I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, I was just saying. Basically, all I'm saying is speed like that off the edge. I mean, you can't teach that. You can come down with these tackles, with these quarterbacks like Drew Brees, to get this ball out so quick to these wide receivers, to these Jimmy Grahams, to these Gronkowskis. You know, Jadeveon Clowney is useful coming off the edge, and he is running down the seam and catching a football.
I mean, well, I heard the first story I heard, he ran a 4.6 And then Steve Spurrier is talking about he ran a 4.4 on ESPN First Take the other day. So I'm thinking more closer to the 4.6. I mean, how big is he? He's like 6'7". Like how much? I don't know how big
I think he's 276 or 280.
Yeah, man, that's pretty. That's 4.3.
When you look at him and you look at how he plays, I mean, doesn't look like he will post a fast 40 time. I mean,
when you say a fast time, I'm not surprised at that. When I think of fast for his size, I'm thinking 4.6, 4.7, you know. But, I mean, hey, if he ran a 4.4, man, shoot. He ran a 4.6 in high school. So, I mean, if he ran a 4.7, I mean, even if he ran a 4.6, I mean, that's impressive to me. That's enough for me to take him the first overall pick. But, you know, if you ran a 4.4, I mean, I would try to put him at a different position, too. I would try to have him on both, you know, some package for him, you know.
Well, he did play running back in high school, and he was fairly good from what I understand. They got a couple of video moves. I think he broke a 99-yard run on one, and he was running cats over. And I think you're starting to see a lot more of these guys that play, you know, at the defensive end. A lot of them are, you know, a lot of them actually are playing running back. And, you know, like I say, sometimes they get mad, like, you know, they'll try to switch some positions. Like recently the guy that running back Alabama had last year, the rookie, what's that dude's name?
You talking about D-Hart?
Big dude. Not a big dude. He's the one who broke the rushing record.
At Alabama?
Yeah.
He's a big dude?
He's incoming freshman.
Oh, you're talking about Yeldon?
No, not Yeldon. You know who I'm talking about, Tex, right? That big dude. Remember we were talking about him.
Oh, he's coming in now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
he's
I know.
Like, he's from Florida.
Where?
Anyway, you know, like I said, yeah, he was playing on the other side. You know, he was playing defensive in high school. There was a guy in Texas who was switched from running back to defensive end. You know, like I said,
that was Henry Nelson.
Yeah, exactly. He was 270, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a big dude. He was like 260.
He was about to say, he was a running back coming out of high, coming in the high, going in the high. He was about 270, 260.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, you know, like I said, I believe that said, you know, you got to, you know, sometimes you are just what you are, you know, and you could just be, you know, be athletic if you get that spot. You know, and, you know, everybody, you know, somebody, you know, maybe, you know, everybody doesn't have to, you know, to switch around or anything. It's interesting, you know, like I said, imagine, you know, somebody that, you know, that big running a 4.4 and hitting you. I would not want that dude to hit me, man. That is, you know, that's a lot of weight moving very fast, you know. Because, you know, it's like, man, I could woo. You know, like I said, he said Cass was scared of him, too. I think he said Aaron Murray was scared of him. I think he said Doc Boyd was scared of him, and somebody else. I forget. I don't know if it was McCarron or not, but yeah, you know, he said he had cats here.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I already heard them footsteps coming. That's why they were scared.
Most definitely. And it's gonna be interesting to see what you know, what this guy does next. I think he's just, you know, dominant. What do you think about Connie, Mike?
Yeah, I know he was. Being his height, 6'6", I thought he was about 6'3", 6'4". I didn't know he was around Julius Peppers' height.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going to be talking. Like you said,
he's a physical beast.
You want to get his, I guess, pass rushers, you know, get as many, like Tex said a while back. No premium of how many pass rushers you can get. He's going to be one of those pass rushers. He's just a guy you just can't pass up with. You can build around your defensive line for, you know, next 10, 11 years with him on your line.
Okay, let's move on from there. Earlier in the week, Texas posted an interesting question online. it was more of a statement. It showed how many players Alabama had. They can say that they were, you know, either number one or one of the top two in the nation. And it was almost at every position. Except I think maybe tight end, I think. But it was everywhere, you know, it was everywhere else. Running back, quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, you know, D lineman, quarterback, you know, everywhere. And looking at University of Alabama, this is gonna, you know, they've won two championships in a row, 3 and 4 years. And what's scary is this might be their best team, because this, you know, this team has a lot of those standout kind of guys at, you know, at different positions. You know, you got your TJ Yeldon and your what's the other boy you keep talking about? Is Marquise Lee Jr. called
Amari Cooper, man. Marquise Lee Jr.
Amari Cooper. you got AJ McCarron at quarterback, and you know, and Upshaw, and all these guys, and Wanda Jew on the line. Is do you think that this could be their best team? And do you think that it's possible that they can live up to the expectations of a team coming off of 3 championships in 4 years? I mean, just like I said, I mean, anything less than a championship undefeated season is going to be disappointing. I mean,
yes,
what do
you
think about
that? Well, hold on. Now, first and foremost, I do think this will be, you know, this could be potentially 2001 Miami a little bit better, but I don't think it's going to happen. Because of the quarterback position. I don't think. Who was that saying there? Was that Tex?
Yeah,
well.
I had to put that in there. But I'm telling the truth, though. I really am telling the truth. I knew you were going to get a reaction out of that. I am telling the truth, though. I'm telling the truth. But let me get back to what I was saying.
That's not a team to compare, though, man. That was
yes, you can. You can compare this team to the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. Yes, you can.
A team like that, though, man, we have to see when they come off of that field. We see them play some games to make that comparison.
You can make that comparison because they had number blue chip recruits. Okay, let's just put 2001 Miami on the side right quick. Let me just answer Mike's question. I think they could do it, but I don't think they're going to do it because – I like AJ McCarron, but I think that, like I said, it boils down to this. If Alabama, if it's 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3, AJ can convert. If it's 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-6, he can't convert. And that's the big thing right there. What'd you say? You understand what I'm saying?
I understand that, but look, the fact that the SEC isn't going to be at its strongest this year, and that might be at its strongest. I mean, you know, look at some of the teams that are taking big hits. Florida's taking a big hit, you know, from players going to the draft.
But they reloaded. Florida's reloaded. They're reloaded.
Reloading with talent and reloading with talented veterans is different, though.
I guess, but I think Florida's going to be right up there. Georgia's going to be right up there. South Carolina's going to be in it. You got LSU. They can possibly be in it. Texas A&M, you know they're going to be in it. So you got maybe 5 teams that are like that have a chance to win a national championship in the SEC. You have 5 legitimate teams that can win.
I think it's looking like, I mean, this is just me. I'm thinking of it like something else. I mean, LSU?
You don't think LSU?
They lost a lot on defense, and they lost a lot on offense. And those were, I mean, think about it. They lost all their running backs.
They're reloaded, man.
When you replace talent with talented friends, though, man. I mean,
I see what you're saying.
Who's gonna come in and replace Ngo and the other dude on the line? Who's gonna, you know, like what they lost? No, they lost what? They lost 4. Did they lose all
They grow those guys at LSU, man. They grow these defensive linemen at LSU, man. They pump them out like every second, man. I'm telling you, they're going to have some guys up there that are just as good as them. Trust me. Now,
you know,
I'll give you that. Now, veteran,
you know,
I understand what you're saying.
Floyd and Elam and, you know, Georgia lost their linebackers. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. It's possible, but, you know, like I said, I've always noticed they're replacing talent. The talented veterans isn't the same thing, you know.
You're right, but it's kind of unpredictable in college football because, you replace talent with talented veterans, but But it's different. But you never know what kind of players are going to come out. You don't know what kind of ability that they have. They can come in and make an immediate impact, like an Amari Cooper did. So you really don't know. So, and I think there's going to be some players in the SEC coming out that are going to be able to come in and make an immediate impact on top of the talent. So I think it's going to be it's the SEC's wide open in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I kind of disagree with you saying about your quarterback with Terrence. Look what he did in that LSU game. That close battle, he made some plays down the stretch.
Some check downs. No, he made some check downs. I saw that. I remember. He made some check downs down the stretch. He's very good at check downs.
He still got it done.
But that's why I said, there's a difference between a 3rd-and-2, a 3rd-and-3, and a 3rd-and-6, and a 3rd-and-7 with McCarron. If it's a 3rd-and-6 and a 3rd-and-7, he has to make a play. But if it's a 3rd-and-2 and a 3rd-and-3, nothing's working, he can just do a check down and get a first down. So, I mean, that's the thing with him. Greg McElroy can make a play. A.J. McCarron, he's just good at check down. That's all he is.
Also, too, in the SEC championship, he made some plays down the stretch, too.
I disagree. It was more so Eddie Lacy handling that rock who brought Alabama, who took the game over. That's what I think in the SEC championship game. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think it's what's that sound?
Also,
I don't know. We're getting some interference or something.
Also, Tupac Bell, you forgot what he did to LSU 2 years ago. Matter of fact, in the national championship.
Well, let me ask you this, Clauzel, because you brought up a good point about Eddie Lacy. As talented as T.J. Yeldon is, do you see him as an every down workhorse kind of back like Eddie Lacy?
Absolutely, he's gonna be a top 10 pick in the NFL. Absolutely, T.J. Yeldon. I mean,
what
the only
size
thing about
is he? I'm really not that familiar. Like I said, I know. What size is he? I thought he was like a smaller kind of guy.
No, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. I remember last year I was calling him Reggie Bush Jr., but I was wrong about that. He ain't as quick as Reggie Bush, but
Reggie Bush Jr.
I said that last year. I don't know if y'all remember me saying that last year. I said that last year,
that's why it had me thinking of him in the mind frame of being more of a scatback kind of guy.
Nah, he's not Reggie Bush. He was looking like him in the spring game, but he ain't Reggie Bush. But he's going to be, he's going to be that Trent Richardson, Mark Ingram. He's a little different style than they are. I kind of compare him to maybe a little bit of a mini Jamal Lewis kind of a guy. I kind of compare him to that. He can catch the ball out the backfield. He can be a power guy. And he has very good speed.
I'm looking at him right now. He's 6'2", 220. Yeah, I didn't know he was that big. Yeah,
he's kind of a big guy. So, he's going to be a pretty good player. I mean, I think, but the only thing about him is he fumbles in critical situations. I don't like about that. That's what I don't like about him. He's a fumbler. And if he can shore that up.
What about his backup? Like I say, usually these Alabama backs have been doing good at running in tandems. You had Ingram and Richardson, Lacy and Yeldon. D Hart, I don't know. I mean,
D Hart being transferred.
Huh?
They're moving him to defense, I believe.
Wow.
They're moving him to defense.
I was just about to say, he never really lived up to his expectations at running back. Who's projecting to be Yeldon's backup? Some guy coming in.
I forgot his name. This really big time running back from Florida.
That's the dude who I was talking about earlier, but he's injured.
Oh, he is. I didn't know that. What's his name? Henry? Is that his name?
Yeah, Henry or Harvey or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know who's behind him.
Yeah.
I don't know. We got some players, but I don't know who's behind him.
Okay. He got injured. I don't know if he came in early, but I know he got injured sometime around in the spring. And I think it was ACL or something. So I don't know. Maybe he might be ready by the time the season starts. But
you know, I know, like I say, I know he had a hit for something.
I mean, if Yeldon can just be the main guy and then McCarron can find from Amari Cooper, and I think we got another receiver coming in who's of Amari Cooper talent. I don't know about the production, but he's of that talent. Then, you know, hopefully he can come in. He can be Robert. I mean, what's his name? Amari Cooper can be the Marquise Lee, and the other guy can be the Robert Woods. And you know, we have our Silas Red in the backfield, so we're good in Alabama, man.
That's all ridiculous sounding.
Just a little bit more of an upgrade. Hold on. Let's get this straight. Hold on. Hey, Cali Mike, and I know you're moderating. So you can't. You're gonna sit up here. Can you tell me that Amari Cooper's on the same talent level as Marquise Lee?
Oh no, I mean, like I said, he's definitely a talented player. I just don't like calling him. I mean, when you call somebody anybody's junior, that automatically means that they're not them. They're less than them. You don't call nobody. The bigger version is the senior. The bigger, better version is the senior. The little version is the junior.
Well, yeah. It's the guy coming right behind him. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, I like Cooper. You know, like I say, it's just. So I don't know. Like I said, maybe I haven't seen him that much. You know, like I said, a lot of times it's hard for me to watch all these games. And, you know, since I'm on the West Coast, it's easier for me to watch, you know, the games that come on out here. And so I've gotten to see Marquise Lee, and I've gotten to see, you know, his evolution into a player, because he wasn't that highly touted coming out of high school. He actually barely got a scholarship. And his scholarship was to play cornerback, actually. They switched him over to wide receiver because of injury. And dude just took off with it. You know, like I said, it was a remarkable way. You know, he came in like a beast. It was just, you know, but he came from a high school. You know, him and Robert Woods went to the same high school, and they also went to the same high school with George Farmer, who was the number one wide receiver that year also. So they had three players who were number one, you know, wide receivers. You know, and I guess, well, two straight guys who were number one receiver. He was the last man out. But like I said, from what I've seen of Cooper, that's why I was kind of unsure about Yeldon too. I mean, I know he's good, but I always thought he was more of a scat back kind of guy. Like I said, now that I see that he's that size, now he's looking more like Darren Fagner kind of guy to me. And you know, that kind of player, you know, like I said, that kind of guy is dynamic. Who can, you know, that's game changing. And you know, but like I said, I can't deny it with Bama. If they play up to their expectations, and you know, all these guys, you know, like I said, all these guys play as good as they are and come out as number one picks. I mean, it's hard to say that they're 2001 Miami, because we've seen what those guys from Miami came out and did in the pros, and we know that was you know, an all time kind of team, because you know, look how many not just NFL picks, look how many Hall of Fame guys and Pro Bowlers on that team. But like I said, this Alabama team is very talented. It's highly talented. You know, like I said, it has a veteran core. I don't know. I thought you'd be higher on McCarron than me. But like I said, McCarron, he's taken a while. He's grown on me. I didn't like him a couple of seasons ago. But you know, he's kind of grown on me. And I think that, you know, I think he's a good quarterback. Like I said, this is a scary talented team. And when you look at some of the other teams across the country that they might have to compete with, you know, Ohio State just lost they dismissed their top running back and their top defensive back. You know, like I said, the SEC is, you know, a lot of question marks about teams that are me. Texas is a highly talented team. They're probably the only team in the country that can match Alabama talent for talent, but they're Texas and Mack Brown is their coach, so that means nothing. Oklahoma, you don't know what Blake Bell can do. You know, Pac-10, you know, like I say, I've never really been sold on Mariota. I'm not sold on De'Anthony Thomas as a full time running back. You know, SC, we got quarterback questions. Notre Dame, quarterback questions, and they're Notre Dame. you know, like I said, I mean, to me, this would be, you know, this would be Alabama's year to do it. You know, I don't see anything. I don't see anybody stopping them besides themselves, really.
Not even Texas A&M.
Let me.
I don't get why you don't kind of see it in McCarron. I mean, you don't beat LSU twice, and you probably don't finish off Georgia without it. I mean, you turn on the Baton Rouge game this past year, and you can just, if the guy takes care of the football, he makes plays. I don't think he's great by any means, but you wait till McCarron chops off at Alabama.
I'm waiting for him to leave because we got somebody coming up behind him. Oh, I'm waiting. No, I'm waiting for him to leave because I think we got somebody better coming up behind him.
On a running football team, you have a guy that's as good as McCarron tossing 30 touchdowns. You have a guy like that?
I think so. I believe we do. The guy from the Jacksonville Jaguars, he was the coach, his son, Jack Del Rio. That's his name? I think that's his name, Jack Del Rio.
Oh, I thought you guys
barely gave him a scholarship, though.
No, we didn't give him a scholarship. He decided to walk on. Sources have told me he looks pretty good. Sources have told me he looks pretty good. So, and they're going to give him, I think he probably already got a scholarship now. So.
That's some big shoes on the field, though. That's why I say I agree with you. Like what you say, I mean, that don't happen with him, though. Obviously, he made his play, but he didn't turn the ball over.
I don't think it's close. Alabama is the best team in the SEC. I think there are about five or six other teams that can beat a lot of the other teams in the nation. People are calling the best. I don't think anybody is better than Alabama. And part of this is, and some of it not only is the reloading and retaining players and having talent, but schedule plays a huge part. South Carolina doesn't have a schedule. Bama doesn't have a schedule. Georgia has a killer schedule. I mean, Georgia's a solid team. They might lose about three or four games. Have you seen Georgia's schedule? I mean, goodness. But I think they are the best team there. Their toughest games is they get LSU at Tuscaloosa, and I'm not going to go into detail about LSU and their talent. Well, I'll do that on another show. And they go to A&M. It would be an upset if Bama didn't win the SEC for any reason, or they didn't go on to at least play in another BCS title game. There's nobody in that conference better than them. They have the time. They have talent. They reloaded with talent. Plus, they have the combination of you're bringing back Amari Cooper, you're bringing Yeldon back, you're bringing McCarron back. I'm a quarterback guy. You're bringing the QB back. And, I mean, you have to understand how important that is. You know what I'm saying?
I completely agree.
I was saying this earlier before I got on the show myself, just mentioning about, you know, Kevin Sumlin and Texas A&M. I was going to say, I mean, it'll be interesting. That's a game I'm kind of looking forward to seeing them play in Texas A&M, Alabama. Do they play each other this year, by the way?
Yeah, they play the third game of the year.
Okay, that's going to be a game right there. I'm definitely going to have it marked. Because I think in 2 years, I think Texas A&M could possibly be in the national championship. It wouldn't be surprising if they do it in another year.
I kind of disagree. Because I'm convinced that Johnny Manziel is leaving after this year. I think he's leaving this year.
Now you're about Johnny Manziel. I mean,
who are they going to have to replace him?
Someone's going to get those Texas.
They got the number one quarterback this year.
They do?
Yep.
He's going to get
I think we have to wait on that. A&M, if they keep having success, that's going to turn over because Sumlin's going to the NFL if they keep having success. So
And then at the same time, Texas is going to catch on, man. I mean, you know, Texas is Texas, man. They're going to catch on. I know A&M.
I don't think Texas is going to catch on until Mac Brown leaves. People are tired of Texas, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, how many number one players can you get? It's like, man.
That's what I'm saying. If you look at
talent for talent, the only team that I think in the country that can match up to Alabama is Texas. And the only thing that's stopping them from winning is that they're Texas.
Texas is the only team to me in 2001 that can match with Miami. Like you said, they didn't have the culture and the quarterback. But, I mean, if that happens, I still think somewhere when he's going to Texas A&M, I still think he's going to probably stay a while. But, like I said, I think one day he will go to coach in the NFL, but I think he's going to stay at Texas A&M for a while.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
don't know.
I'm looking at Alabama's schedule here, too. Alabama's playing one of their usual games. They use a crazy Alabama schedule.
Hold on, I gotta say this. Hold on. What's that sound, man? All right, hold up. I gotta say this. It's deceptively tough. Okay? All right, if y'all can hear me clearly, that's a deceptively tough schedule. Hold on for a second. Something's wrong.
Yeah,
is that your phone, Mike?
Did somebody buy a speaker? So hold on. Let me see. Everyone, we'll put my phone on mute and tell me if it's top.
No. Put Shotown on mute. Hold up. Put Shotown on mute.
Hold on. Hello?
Is it Shotown?
Shotown?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Shotown's phone. Mike, is your phone. Callie, Shotown, we're going to put you and put him back on, but I think it's his phone that's doing that. But,
are you back on, Mike?
Yeah, and James is on. James is, hold on, I know James is on. I'm in the studio, too. James is, hold on, I got to say one thing before James get on. It's a deceptively tough schedule. I'm going to say this. You know you got Texas A&M, okay? Ole Miss, you got to go to Ole Miss. That's not a cakewalk, you know what I mean? You know LSU is going to be back and forth, and then you got Auburn. Auburn, they're on a rebuilding year, but you know that it's a rival. So you could lose one of those four games.
Okay, what game did you say again?
Texas A&M. I'm going to look up the schedule, too.
Possible.
That's going to be tough going there. You got Ole Miss on the road. That's not an easy win. I don't think that's going to be easy.
You're not going to whoop Ole Miss's ass.
I mean, I watched them. I watched the game. And then LSU at Auburn. I don't know what Tennessee's going to do, and I don't know what Virginia Tech's going to do. So, you know.
Besides LSU, Virginia Tech is a question mark. I think they just lost their running back. They still got Logan Thomas, that quarterback. He underachieved last year, but he has the potential to be a top quarterback if he plays up to his game. But besides, like I said, that's the first game of the season. And it's in Virginia. Looks like it's at Virginia. No, it's at Alabama, so y'all going to win that one. Let's see. These other games, these Chattanooga and Georgia State, those are joke games. Then, let's see, Arkansas, Tennessee, y'all going to beat them. LSU is at Bama. That's a win for y'all. Auburn is at Auburn, but still, that's a rebuilding Auburn. They don't even know who the quarterback is going to be. So that's another win for y'all. Maybe Texas A&M is the only question mark game y'all have.
Yep.
But anyway, let's bring in A50. A50, how's it going?
Oh, man, here we go. You know it's the return of CMC Firestorm, and it's all the way official. When Claude Jell is comparing players, talk about being somebody junior, dog.
Hey.
Oh, man, come on, man.
Come on now, James. You got to admit. Okay. You got to admit, that's Marquise Lee Jr. right there, Amari Cooper. I said that when I first said it. Y'all laughed at me, man. I remember it, and it came to fruition. But anyway.
I'll just say he's a talented wide receiver, and like I say, let's just leave it at that. But like I say, looking at some of these other teams, though, it'll be tough for Alabama not to go ahead and run the gauntlet this year. You say deceptively tough, but deceptively tough, and to me means this is their scrub. I mean, no Florida. So, like I say, even though those teams are, you know, they're going to be real. Like I said, they got a fairly easy schedule here, man. I mean, like I said, I'd be surprised they don't beat off. Even Texas A&M, you know, they lost Jokel and Demontre Moore. So who knows what they can do this year? But you know, like I say, other than that, I mean, they'll beat all these guys. And they lost that top, and they lost Spook too. So you know, like I said, other than that, they'll beat these guys easy. If they don't run this schedule, I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, since I'm like pretty much like just getting on right here, hey, y'all are just like reviewing the SEC right for this show.
What was that? I said there's a little bit of a feedback. I couldn't really hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it might be like just a motorcycle or something. No, I'm saying y'all are reviewing the SEC for this show.
Just talking about Alabama, and maybe this might be their best team. And you know who if anybody could stand a chance to them this year.
Well, I don't know if anybody in the SEC can. I don't know what Alabama's SEC schedule is. Outside of you know the SEC West,
it's fairly weak.
But so they don't really play the Georgias. Well, they never play Georgia during the season anyway. So that's
they play powerhouses like Chattanooga, Middle Tennessee, Upper West Side State.
You know, A&T Central Catholic State University.
Yeah, FAMU, that was cool.
Hey.
But other than that, man, I don't see anybody else challenging them. Georgia will not be the same team they were last year, because I don't think they had the same skills they did last year. But it may be possible that Georgia still might win the division, but have more conference losses compared to last year. That is.
Yeah, man, their schedule's brutal, man. They got Clemson and South Carolina the first two games of the season.
Yep.
And they got to play LSU. And they got to play Florida.
See?
I feel sorry for these guys, man.
That's an actual SEC schedule right there. I mean, you don't see them not playing, you know, like if they can't play Alabama, I'm like, okay, that's fine. They could play somebody else and put somebody on their schedule. So that's the thing about them. So it's like right now it seems like Alabama is having that whole schedule thing with the like Florida Gators right now. As we all know, the Florida Gators don't play nobody.
I mean, looking at
Clemson, I'm looking at their schedule right here. They got Georgia, NC State. Who you guys think they could be a viable team to possibly get a national championship game?
Who?
Clemson. If they win big over Georgia, they win big over FSU, and then their last game is against South Carolina. They beat a highly ranked South Carolina team also. Seems like they have a college team. Tosh Boy coming back this year, so you know.
Hmm. Are they like in the preseason top 10 of anything right now as of yet?
I don't know. I mean, they haven't released anything official yet, but I think I think they might be even top 5 in like some unofficial rankings. You know, so they're, you know, like I said, they're gonna be within striking distance if they're not already up there already. They're gonna be
I pretty much think Clemson would be starting off the season like in the top 10, no lower than 8, I would say. But if they, you know, start off and beat, like, you know, Georgia and then beat Florida State and end up beating South Carolina at the end of the season and win the ACC championship game, then, yes, they really could have a shot to be in the national championship game this year.
Yeah, it's kind of – ACC is funny. The ACC is actually going to be interesting again this year because, like I said, Florida State, they have a very talented team. They got a – they're going to –
don't they have Pittsburgh and Syracuse?
Who's that? Florida State?
Yeah, the ACC. Aren't Pittsburgh and Syracuse in the conference this year?
Florida State's first game is against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they got, you know, and like I said, with FSU this year, they just were, you know, they lost a lot of players too, but they just released the all preseason team, and they got six guys on the all preseason ACC team. And this quarterback they have coming in, I think it's Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
He was the number one quarterback a couple of years ago, and he's supposed to be a phenom. So it'll be interesting to see what they do too. Of course, you know that their last game is against Florida, and along the way they play play Miami, Clemson, NC State, you know, and the rest of that ACC crew. So. It's going to be a spread, like I said, and even then, you can't count on Miami. Miami, you know, they've reloaded. They're coming back, with Stephen Morris and Duke Johnson. So, you know, they're going to have a pretty wide open offense as long, you know, and Stephen Morris really transformed himself into a top quarterback.
Yep.
So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be really
Miami is amongst the top 25 in the early, you know, the early teams that are coming out. I've seen, like, one that has it, like, you know, 21 or 20 or so. But,
yeah,
I mean, 22. If they can make some noise this season, then, hey, look out.
Yeah, like I said, hey, you know,
talking about
SEC.
Miami?
Yeah.
Talking about Miami, Jay?
Yeah.
I mean, there was some close games, though, last year, you know. There was in some.
Yeah, they were in a good amount of them. I mean, they could have finished off there.
You know, they're going to get better. Like I say, then you got North Carolina. You know, they're going to have a successfully good team this year, even though they lost Giovanni Bernard. But, you know, they got a good quarterback there.
Yeah,
and,
but they
got
to play South Carolina first.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. I'm looking at that right now. Yeah, wow. That'll be a tough game to recover from it, you know, if they come in and knock your block off. But I said, between them, VTech, you know, ACC, you know, I don't know. We might be seeing a little bit of ACC resurgence coming on there. They've always had the talent, but, you know, ACC always stays a talented conference. But, you know, like I said, it's just, you know, seems like it's a matter of if their teams want to come to play or not. And, you know, like I say, you know, it's like we can be seeing a little bit of resurgence with them. Right now, I want to go into with the situation we recently had with Aaron Hernandez. There's a lot of questions now going to Urban Meyer about Hernandez when he was at University of Florida. And, you know, now they're starting to come out there with fight. He might have shot somebody while he was there. And, you know, and all this other stuff, you know, him taking pictures with guns and, you know, Tim Tebow having to intervene in fights. And, of course they throw Tebow in there, you know, and all this other stuff. And I want to know, what do you guys think about the power of a program and a coach that can have over media influence and what gets released and how that affects players? You know, especially, like I say, you know, with guys like Johnny Manziel, you know, how they're not really releasing what happened at the Manning Academy. They're kind of saying this, and you hear little rumors flying around. But, you know, more interesting, like I said, you had this Hernandez situation. He was number one. I remember he was number one tight end coming out of high school. He was actually going to stay at high school and stay at UConn, and then he decided to go to Florida. And but it seems like, you know, like I said, it seems like all this other stuff was really covered up until this recent murder conviction thing going on that he has going on. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it seems like smaller cities like Gainesville, it's easier to cover up stuff like that than it would have been if this guy was in a, Miami or, you know, or Los Angeles or, you know, or someplace like that. What do you guys think about that? I mean, especially, like I said, all of us have been in Tallahassee and seeing, you know, the influence that the coach like a Bobby Bowden can have over the whole city. What do you guys think about that?
I'm going last in this one.
Go ahead, Tex.
Well, it's, you know, you're always, I don't think nobody's knowingly going to try to actively recruit somebody who they knew 100% was a murderer for their team or whatnot. I mean, you have, I don't know. I mean, yeah, sure, things get covered up, but you know, these schools are in the business of winning, and you know, let's just face it. If he's not killing people, and if he's not, you know, molesting children, then he's going to be on the field. He's going to be playing, and for the most part, people are choosing who and what they want to care about, in my opinion. So, you know, if he's not doing those things, then, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. But, you know, these college coaches, you know, they had the power to, you know, let's not be naive. If stuff is not going to get out, you know, it's not going to get out. Nobody's going to know. You know what I'm saying? In Gainesville and Tuscaloosa, I mean, even in a bigger place, it's probably, like you said, it probably leaked in. But you know, if information is not coming to the forefront, then it's not coming to the forefront. And there must have been something out there because Hernandez fell to the fourth round. He was a first round talent, and he fell to the fourth. So.
Well, do you think maybe that was insider information? Because, like I said, I didn't know. I mean, you know, like I said, I try to closely follow this stuff, and I like the drafts and everything. And you know, it's kind of like let's say Ryan Mallett. You know, remember when he was coming out, people were saying character issues. But then, you know, you can go to different insiders, and they were like drugs. You know. So it's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, you might hear one thing, and then it might actually be something else, you know. And I didn't, you know, like, I didn't know. What?
The thing about Malady is how I like to say he was one of us. So that's where that comes from with Mallet.
You talking about Ryan Mallet from Arkansas?
Yeah.
He was one of us. Yeah, he dropped because.
Yeah.
You know, people were just saying he had a crazy attitude or something.
Well, he was a. They claim that, and this is not a knock against black folks, but you know, he kind of came up around black folks. So that's where they get that from.
And who said? Oh, well, somebody did some GM say he's one of us, or like this is something you saying?
No, that's what I when we're talking about this kind of subject. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
That's how I'm describing it.
Well, yeah, he had an issue when he was at Michigan. So, I mean, that's what they held against him.
Well, he was always. I mean, they ain't gonna just come out and say it, but that was the problem. That was the problem with Mallet, that he was, you know, he was always around black people.
Oh, wow. See, like I said, that's somebody.
Have you heard him talk, though?
And
see, and that can lead into the Trayvon Martin discussion right there. But, you know, we want to hold that thought right there. I that's interesting.
When this comes up, when this came about him being around black people, when did this come out?
No, it didn't come out. I'm saying that was the issue with Mallet. And then it's just some subtle things that they were saying. It wasn't really, you know, they weren't really saying what the problem was, but as you kept looking at it.
That's what I'm saying. They were just saying stuff like character issues or... You know, or you know what I mean? Like, just little, and it's like, what does that really even mean? You know, it's like I said, I heard drugs, I heard cocaine. I mean, I would hear different, you know, but nobody would actually come out and say, you know, this. Like I said, I don't, with Aaron Hernandez, I've never been to Connecticut, so I didn't, you know, I'm assuming, like I said, I'll tell you the truth, I assume Connecticut was white bread. It kind of let me know what when that dude got stabbed. I didn't know that until that cat got stabbed there. I think he was on the University of Connecticut football team. What was that, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he was from Florida, yeah.
Dude got stabbed up there, and I was like, stabbed? Wow, you know, who stabs people still? So, you know, that kind of let me know about Connecticut. But, I was totally surprised, you know, by Hernandez, you know, and they were like, this dude is a, you know, straight up gangbanger, and, you know, and the tattoos, and the, like I say, the pictures of him, you know, shooting, holding guns, and, you know, this and that, and, I mean, did it catch you guys like this? I mean, was it the same? I mean, who said they knew about Connecticut? Because like I said, it totally caught me off guard about that.
Connecticut is ESPN and gangs, man.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, I just was right there by Bristol, like this past weekend.
Wow.
So. And you can't really you can't get in trouble in Connecticut, man. It's just that, you know, a lot of people that are not around that area, the New England area, just don't know the ins and outs of that state. So that's the thing about it. I mean,
and
I was like just there, and I didn't even go by Stores Connecticut. So I mean, even in Stores Connecticut, that who knows what goes on around there.
Yeah, and you can throw Rhode Island in there too a little bit.
That's true.
Wow,
I mean,
really?
I didn't really go by Rhode Island, but hey, didn't Lamar Odom, you know, hang out around Rhode Island, and didn't he get in trouble?
Yeah, he did. You're right. He did go to he went to University of Rhode Island, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yep.
Like I said, it kind of caught me off guard because, like I said, when I heard Aaron Hernandez and issues, wow, I'm looking at the map of Connecticut right now. I didn't know it was like right next to New York like that. Wow.
It's right there, man.
Yeah, I didn't know that. For some reason, I'm thinking it was up like by Vermont and Maine and all that. You know, I didn't know it was like right there. Yeah, like you said, right by Boston. Wow.
Right there by New York City, man. You could just drive there about what is it from? You know where Hartford is. Connecticut, 2-hour drive, New York City.
Wow, I didn't, you know, because when I heard Aaron Hernandez and character issues, I'm not thinking, okay, this is going to be like character issues that should do some South Central or if he was from Carroll City or something. You know, I'm thinking Connecticut character issues means he might have got drunk one night or something. You know what I mean? He went to a kegger and turned it out or, you know, I didn't think it was going to be like, oh, this man shot three dudes and did, you know, and he shot somebody in the eye and did all this stuff, you know.
Yeah, man. But the point that I was gonna make about you know these college kids getting in trouble or whatnot is that, like, you know, like it was said, I mean, either it could be in Tallahassee or Gainesville, Stores, Connecticut, Columbus, or whatever. I mean, people just don't know the ins and outs of, you know, what goes on outside of the playing field, outside of the gridiron. So with some of these players, if they had that type of mentality in high school, chances are they're going to have it in college, whether they get recruited and signed or not. No matter who's around them, they're still going to have that same mentality that they had in high school. So if you are from, like you said, Carroll City, and then you go over to someplace like Athens, Georgia, you know, you'll probably find the same things that you saw in Carroll City. I mean, even if you had to drive to Atlanta to get there or something like that, who's going to control you? Nobody really controls you.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not really in a 24/7 dormitory that is supervised the whole time. So, hey, they get in trouble. That's on them.
Yeah. Wow.
It just depends on the program if they want to keep them on the team or not. And how much impact that they have on the team. If they say that you have enough impact on the team that can help you out, it will keep you on the team and make the efforts to do so.
It's just, I don't know. Like I said, it's just, I guess it's just catching me. I'm looking here at Ohio State, You know, they just had, you know, they just dismissed their top running back. I mean, what? I don't know. I mean, maybe it was me, but it just seems like, I don't know. I guess a lot of these guys, maybe because they are, you know, they are star guys and they're under the
For all that stuff right there, I got two words for you. Maurice Claret.
Okay. Wow, yep. Yeah. I mean, wow. Do you think it might come to the point of where they start having high school athletes take a Wonderlic type exam or some type of psychological makeup test or something like that?
Nah, they ain't gonna do that. They ain't gonna put the so called NCAA thing at risk to do something like that. They already look like the pros anyway, so why even make it even more so?
Yeah, make it harder, that's all I can say. They gotta make their money too off of those athletes, so of course they're not gonna do all that, it's a college.
Interesting you said that about the NCAA. I'm going to go a little bit off script here. I wanted to bring this up. I forgot to add it. With the recent Ed O'Bannon lawsuit going on with the NCAA, and I don't know if you guys heard, but they just broke off their licensing contract with EA Sports. So next year there'll be no NCAA 15 college football. Do you guys think that this might be the end of the NCAA? Or are they? I looked up the their revenue the other day. This is supposed to be a non-profit organization, and just by themselves, they made over $1 billion last year. And that's just NCAA revenue. That's not. If you look at college football revenue, is second in sports only to the NFL out of all sports. But the NCAA by itself made $1 billion last year, and none of that money was going to any of the players. And like I said, a lot of these guys are getting pissed off about it with this lawsuit coming out. You know, it just now got certified as a class action lawsuit because now they have current players signing on for it. And what do you guys think? Do you guys think that we might be seeing the last of the NCAA, or could it be that they're going to have to drastically change things and maybe start paying these guys? Or stop selling jerseys altogether. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Y'all go ahead on this one too.
Go ahead, Pablo. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's going to happen, man.
Go ahead.
I think it's the same thing that's going to happen. They're going to come up with some reason, some loophole to get out of that. So, I mean, they could get a settlement or something, but I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
It's just like I say. It's just like I said. Them cutting off that licensing agreement with EA Sports, though, and letting me know that this thing is starting to gain traction. You know, that's a lot of money that they're giving up right there. You know, and you look. I mean, like I said, that's big. That's pretty much like, you know, for college football guys like that. That means just imagine if there wasn't no Madden football next year. You know what I mean? Or for those of us who remember when Fox took over the licensing for Madden instead of NFL, and I think it was in the mid '90s they released it. It's just different. Like I said, it can be really big. And like I said, with this lawsuit, I mean I don't know, man. I think it's gaining traction. Like I said, I think it started off as something little, and it's gonna start getting bigger. And like I said, I think there will be a settlement. But I think there's also going to be lasting changes on the way the NCAA operates. I mean, you look at it, like I said, recently with all these sanctions they've been doing. I mean, a lot of people are mad at the NCAA right now. They're not, you know, they're not the favorite organization that they used to be. You know, a lot of question marks, you know, fingers are being pointed at them. You got a lot of mad USC alumni. You got a lot of mad Penn State alumni. You know, and those guys, you know. Yeah, a lot of mad Miami alumni, and those, you know, a lot of those guys are decision makers, and you know, and so it's kind of, you know, and those are, like I said, those are major programs that put a lot of money into, you know, a lot of money into them. So it's going to be interesting to see, what happens. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nick?
No.
What about you, Mike?
You made some good points on it. But, I mean, like you said, there's too much money involved in it, you know. NCAA is, you know, a $1 billion industry, so they gonna work something out. Maybe they have somebody else that make NCAA sports for next year. If EA doesn't come to agreement with the NCAA.
Okay. Well, like I said, let's move on to
Hold it.
Let's move on.
Hold on.
What'd you say?
Hold on. I was gonna say something about that.
Go ahead.
To pretty much sum it up, I'm going to say that the NCAA is a bunch of fakes. If they can run a so-called nonprofit organization, yet they have all of these colleges and universities pay fees in order to be a member of this association and make money hand over fist, and then try to put sanctions on players, so to speak, when there are, 120 schools that aren't really part of the National Collegiate Athletic Association in football. They're not. They're part of the BCS. That's not an NCAA entity. So how can they put those sanctions on those players if their football program is not part of that organization?
Yeah, that's a good point.
They play for a BCS title. It doesn't say NCAA on it.
Yeah. Like I said, it gets kind of like a gray area almost. I used to wonder when they put the sanctions on USC and they tried to take away USC's national championship, but the BCS national championship is not part of the NCAA.
Right, they have no jurisdiction. They can't do that. That's why I
none
say that USC are the national champions.
Yeah.
They're the national champions.
So.
Period. They don't say who the national champions are.
Nope.
NCAA does not do that.
Nope. And you know, so it had me. You know, it had me confused. It's like, how can they do that, or how can they take away somebody's Heisman? You know, the Heisman is not part of the NCAA. It's an outside organization.
Right.
Exactly.
As part of the New York Athletic Club. They are not part of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. So how can they take away a Heisman?
Yeah.
You know, that's
I mean,
all
like
with boosters. With that club, you know, got boosters that put their money into it, and boosters has nothing to do with the NCAA.
Yeah.
No, they do not.
I mean, like I say, it's definitely going to put a spotlight on their actions now. Like I say, this with the recent sanctions, it's gonna put us. I don't think we're gonna see, you know, the all powerful NCAA, you know, that we're used to seeing. I think a lot of people, like I say, it's made a lot of people mad, and some of those people are people that make decisions, you know, that are decision makers and, you know, and stock callers. And they're going to, you know, like I say, they're going to, you know, people don't, you know, people, you know, people think about college, you know, college sports is people take that to heart, especially if that was their alma mater and they went there. So they don't forget stuff, you know. So it's like, you
right.
know, like I say, look, you know, the little stuff the NCAA does, you know, some of these guys, you know, like I said, a guy from Miami ain't going to forget. Guy from Penn State ain't going to forget. Guy from USC
right.
they're not going to forget. So.
Who is that squad? SMU? That whole death penalty thing? Yeah. You know what? When I think about it, that is bogus.
Yep.
That's bogus what they did to SMU.
Yep.
Worse.
The thing, that, they ruined them. And now, you know, like I said, that was, you know, for people don't remember, you know, or can't remember, that was, you know, that was a top program. You know, they had what was it, Pony Express? You know, them dude, you know, like I said, them dude, you know,
Pony
they were making bad boys down there.
Pretty much put it this way, they probably would have been a member of the Big 8 or the Big 12. They probably would have, but if, you know, they're like a Christian university, well, hey, TCU's in the Big 12, so, hey, SMU would have been right there with them.
Yeah, it set their program back, what, about 25 years? Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
What a net.
Something like that,
you know.
You know. Something like that.
Like I said, look at what they did. For, you know, look at what they did to Bama. Clausell, you should know. You know, Bama. What they won the national title in '92. Got hit. What when they get hit with their sanctions? Like '96, '97.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Back then,
they
were part of
the
Bowl Alliance, not part of the NCAA.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. Like I said, it's gonna put a definite focus on, you know, on their actions, and you know, like I said, I don't think we're gonna see. any more sweeping, you know, sweeping decisions by them anytime soon. So, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I wonder what they're going to do with the settlement. You know, they're saying that they might give them, you know, a trust fund or, you know, there's all sorts of little wacky ideas going on how they're going to get the players this money. So I want to see how they're going to do that. So, you know, it ought to be interesting. But anyway, let's move on to the NFL. Let's start off with the hot subject. I know Clausel wants to get into this. Unless you've been under a rock for the past, 3 months now, everybody's been following what's going on with this Trayvon Martin thing. Like I say, this is a sports show, but this is something that has crossed over different boundaries, especially, like I said, we're seeing a lot of athletes that have come out and said things about this and shown different support, you know, and I want to know, what do you guys think about this? I mean, when things like this happen in our country, how does it change things? You know, how do we keep maintaining to go forward? You know, like I say, in relation to sports, you know, we had a lot of different athletes came out. You know, you had guys wearing hoodies, people saying that they were, you know, sick of Florida. You got different performers that are going to be banned in the state of Florida and boycotting it. I'm trying to think, what's the wide receiver in New York? What's the guy up there called there?
Victor Cruz.
Yeah, you had him who came out and wrote some tweets, and you know, you had to delete them because everybody got mad about him. I mean, when this kind of thing happens, like I said, it affects everything. And I want to know, you know, what are some of you guys' thoughts about what happened?
Well, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I mean, it was.
Hold on one second, Mike. Hey, Clausel, you're in the studio right now?
Yeah.
Hey, can you take over the studio? Because I'm on, but my computer's messed up right now.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I think this whole tragic thing, and particularly into sports, I think that athletes should have a certain level of paranoia when they deal with people. You know, when you're going out. When you're interacting with people, particularly new people, when you're interacting with women, you know, you're a target. And I think that this Trayvon Martin situation kind of shows that, you know, particularly being African-American men in this country, you're a target. And you know, if you're doing something or if you even look suspicious, it didn't even matter how you look. It's just the fact that you're there, you're going to be a target. And I think you have to be very cautious of your surroundings, be well prepared. Like, for example, when you go to a club, you know, if you have some drinks, you know, make sure you don't get behind the wheel because there could be a bouncer there could be a policeman there watching you drink and getting his partner ready in his car to pull you over, you know. Or if you run into women, you got to make sure you're strapped, you know, because she could be poking holes in your condom trying to get a baby from you, you know. so stuff like that, man. I mean, I think you know, players have to be cautious. People in general have to be cautious because you're going to be attacked, and it's not even about people of other races. Your own people can attack you. So you've got to raise your level of paranoia because they're looking for something, looking for anything. You know, to hold against you. I think this Trayvon Martin situation has highlighted that. And I don't even think it's just athletes, it's just men in general, African American men in society in general. That's my take on this. Let me get what your take is.
Let me jump in real quick. Like you said about the getting prepared. Do you think maybe, like, especially, you know, you said it's for African-American men in general. A lot of us are athletes. Do you think for, like, some of these athletes, maybe it's kind of a wake-up call for them, and it kind of brings them back to reality in a way? When things like you say, you know, when they get arrested or are pulled over driving in their Benz, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a wake-up call. I mean, you know, there's been plenty of wake-up calls, and people just ain't getting them. But, I mean, you know, I just think that when they have these when they have these NFL rookie symposiums, or I think, you know what I think? I think people like, I think this should be separate from the NFL. I think there should be a group of guys from the NFL that should, you know, go to somebody like a Louis Farrakhan or Mark Lamont Hill or something like that and ask them to come down and speak to a bunch of players in the NFL. They should do something independent from the NFL because, you know, because they're not going to tell them this stuff at the rookie symposium. I mean, they'll tell them, you know, spend your money right, you know, stuff like that, but they won't tell them things in regards to them being young, black in this country, what they're going to expect. Because they're looking for anything to pin you down with. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter how you talk. You can be doing the right thing. They're looking for anything. I mean, a speeding ticket, they'll go after your character this day and age. So, you know,
yeah.
I think there should be some players that should sponsor those guys to come and talk to a lot of the players in the NFL.
I was gonna say they had
yeah, right.
They had some former players that for this year's past symposium, the tall note Jim Brown was gonna speak, then they said he had an illness. You know he was gonna keep it real while with them, and I know Richard Dent, he was gonna speak. So I mean they have former players, so I mean I think that's good for guys to play the game, but only difference though is they're not making as much money as the players making now, you know, so that's the only difference. When the time they were getting paid. So they on the money issue, but just being in the spotlight and, you know, that type of thing, they can kind of relate to them on that aspect.
But, and you know, and the interesting thing is, the thing that was very interesting that I noticed, and you mentioned Victor Cruz and mm-hmm. some players came out and said something, and then they had to retract their tweet. So that should say something in itself right there. They had to retract their tweet.
You know why, right?
Excuse me?
You know why, right?
Right, because they have, you know, the man that pays the piper controls. I mean, the man that pays controls. So, I mean, that's why I say you need to have somebody, you need to bring somebody who has a level of consciousness to educate these players. You know, what to do with their money, how to be independent and not necessarily kiss up to people. I'm going to let James. What you have to say, James?
No. I'm going to change this from CMT Firestorm to the cold hard truth right now. All right? You are not going to find any quote-unquote black athlete that will openly speak out against these atrocities or these so-called tragedies that are going on. Once they sign that contract, they are under ownership. You should know that. $40 million plays. That's the end it.
Yeah.
You will not see a Muhammad Ali. You won't see a Muhammad Ali. You won't see a Bill Russell. You won't see a Floyd Patterson. None of that now.
Jim Brown.
Because Jim Brown, you won't see any of that right now. Because they are pretty much being paid by, quote unquote, since y'all like to say it, the men, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got a question then. Okay, let's look at it for example here. Look at Floyd Mayweather. He's a professional athlete, right? He was under Bob Arum. Look what he did. He decided to go independent, have his own promotion company, you know, hire his own people, and so he can speak out on anything he wants to. So why can't a player, I understand he's getting paid, but if he has a product or a service, if he has a skill that is so desired, I mean, why don't he set himself independently?
Okay, now, hold on. With that example, that's different and that's rare because you're dealing with boxing here. And Mayweather is so-called a self-promoter, and he has his own Mayweather Promotions, but it ends there. Mayweather Promotions is Mayweather. If he's a welterweight, who else does he have under his company that they could fight? You see what I mean? So he has to go to somebody else in order to fight. He can't fight any of Bob Arum's guys, no. But he can fight Oscar De La Hoya's guys.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, he could be his own person or his own boss because the people demand him. But if he doesn't have anybody to fight, and if Oscar De La Hoya wanted to, he could just say, hey, you can't fight any of my fighters. Then who is Mayweather going to fight?
Well, let me say this.
And also, in boxing, though, I mean, he represents his own self. He's not part of an organization or a team. So he pretty much his own boss. He can do whatever, say whatever, where he's not playing for the Philadelphia Eagles or Pittsburgh Steelers, where you got to look up ownership and management. So that's the difference.
You have a you still have a choice whether whether you under contract or not. You have a choice. You make the decision about what's bigger. You understand what I'm saying? To a man, you make a decision about what's bigger, what's more important. And,
You're not going to see – yeah, but see, that goes to my point. You're not going to see any of these players risking their contract to step up and say what they're supposed to say about this whole thing. And go ahead.
Let me say this. It's weird because nobody seemed to have a problem when you had these different athletes speaking out about gay rights and, you know, in their support, you know, Chris Cooley or what's the other two black dudes, the other dude, you know nobody. Nobody seemed to have a problem with it. But it's like it's almost taboo for African-American athletes to speak about what's going on in their own community. But they can say, like I said, the reporters can ask them any other wild questions they want to ask them about it. You know what I mean? No, you know, you always hear reporters ask them some wild question about something that doesn't have nothing to do with nothing. But you don't ever hear a reporter go, you know, hey, Lance Briggs, how do you feel about all the people being killed in Chicago every weekend? You know, what they have, 92 people shot in one weekend. That's amazing.
About that one, that whole Chicago thing, I'll give you a prime example of it. Derrick Rose.
Exactly.
He stepped up and helped at least one of those families, and ever since he has not been playing on that team.
Well, I put it on my Facebook, you know, about athletes, you know, speaking up, and I heard a lot of people say that they're not required to or they're not obliged to. But my thing is, like, aren't you ethically obliged as a person? I mean, not even as a – you don't even have to be a black person. I mean, if I'm a white athlete in Chicago, I'd be like, man, 92 people getting shot in a weekend is a lot. Can't we stop for what – you know what I'm saying?
Right, but I mean that whole reasoning, there's even more deeper reasoning to that. But really, if I explained it, it would just take way too much time. So we'll get to that, you know, through Facebook or whatever. But that whole point about, you know, these, you know, black people getting shot in Chicago and nobody's saying about that, there's something more to that.
Wow. I didn't even think about it. I mean, why you think that has something to do with Derrick Rose not playing?
The particular case, I don't think it was Sadiq Pemberton, but I think it was like a 1-year-old child or something like that, and he said he stepped up to pay for the funeral costs.
Yeah, the funeral, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you talking about that little girl that got killed. I know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that, okay, so now he has this supposed knee injury that he's out for the year, right? But Dwayne Wade has a knee injury, and he's pretty much back in 2 or 3 weeks. Kobe Bryant had problems with his knee.
You think maybe
Kobe Bryant
had
problems with his knee? Pretty much.
Wow. I sure hope not.
But when I saw all this stuff going on with Derrick Rose, I pretty much said long time ago that I said by next season, this upcoming season, don't be surprised if Derrick Rose is not a member of the Chicago Bulls.
Wow.
Watch out for that.
I sure hope not. That was like I said, that would really be a blow to my
to
my beliefs in this country, and I don't hold on to that many because people really don't.
Now you see what I mean when I said. Now you see what I mean when I said cold hard truth.
Yeah. But
at the same time, though, like, you know, and I think a lot of situations, I think we have a lot to blame for ourselves because, you know, Trayvon Martin is a situation where us as black people, we don't protect each other, you know. You know, with a Derrick Rose or some situation like that, or a Victor Cruz, you know,
I mean, he could lose his job, but he ain't got nothing else behind that. You know, we don't have nobody
right.
that could
right.
hire
That's
him. You know, come
right.
up behind him. We need to protect, but
right.
black people don't protect each other. You know,
right.
our leaders, Martin
Let's
Luther King, Malcolm X, they just left them hanging. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times we had to blame ourselves in that situation. That's why a lot of these players aren't speaking out, because black people, we don't have protection in this country. So that's
but
the thing.
Clausel, that's what I partially tried. Partially was explaining to you in April. That is just the beginning. What I showed you then, that's just the beginning.
Well, like what I'm like, why are you guys signing with this shoe company and getting $10 million when you can get a group of y'all together, make y'all own shoes that people are still gonna wear because it's you guys? And get $100 million. It's like, to me, it's like, what does that say to the solidarity of our own people? You know, it's like you can't get we had different athletes that tried it and nobody supported it. You know, Shaq tried it with his shoes, nobody supported it. Olajuwon tried it, even Stephon Marbury tried it. Nobody, you know, like I said, nobody was supporting them. Nobody, you know what I mean?
You mean with somebody trying to come out with their own shoe or whatever? Like,
well, they try to control the means of production, and nobody, like I say, Shaq had limited success, but you know, like I say, the other, you know, nobody's feeling, you know, Marbury, and you know, he was giving his shoes out, but you know, he was only charging $20 for his shoes. I think Elijah Wong was only charging $20. I think he only even might have a shoe too. You know, nobody was feeling.
But that goes into the, you know, the controlling of the open market or whatever it is. There are some things that you can do under the market, and there are some things that you can't. For example, you gave those examples. I'll give you two more that goes into the entertainment industry. Number one, Bill Cosby. Try to buy a network. Hey, did he get it? No, they shut him down. Two, Robert Johnson. Try to get an airline company started. Shut him down. That should pretty much tell you what's going on right there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what about an athlete like Jordan, though? You know, he has his own basketball team. I don't know over what control he has over the Jumpman name. I hope he at least controls over 80% of 80% of Jumpman and Air Jordan. But I don't know the specifics of that.
Here's the thing about Michael Jordan, and this is something that I will be watching with him over the next two or three seasons. Remember, when he pretty much got control of the Charlotte Bobcats, they pretty much sucked, right? Now, something recently happened with Michael Jordan in his personal life. Do y'all know what it was?
Yes.
He got divorced and got married.
That's right.
He's been divorced.
Yeah, he's been divorced, but he just recently got married. Now I'm under the watch of the Charlotte Bobcats. Or, wait a minute, let me take that back. Didn't they change the name back to the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah,
New Orleans is going to be the Pelicans.
Hornets
name back. Now, watch what happens with that Charlotte team over the next two or three seasons. If they improve dramatically, I'm gonna be like, what's going on here now? So now Charlotte's the hot team now, huh? Okay.
Wow. Do you think he was doing that to keep the value of the team down so he wouldn't have to pay his ex-wife as much money, or?
That could be part of it, but it also goes into something deeper, like with what me and Carzell used to talk about when I was down there in Tampa. We go through that whole Umar Johnson thing. He knows what I'm talking about.
You think it's married to a white woman?
White, Spanish, or whatever it is, yeah.
I was thinking that.
Wow.
I didn't want to say that. I ain't saying that it is. But I'm just sitting back watching. And I'm going to be like, oh, so they're getting all successful now. Let's see what that's all about. Mm-hmm.
You wonder if the powers that be or whatever would approve of Jordan now.
Well, I mean, I'm just sitting back and just saying, hey, I ain't saying, but I'm saying.
Wow. I never thought about it. Like I said, that would be very deep, man. It would be deep and sad, but, you know, like I said, nothing from this country really surprises me anymore, man. It's, you know, it's to where we're getting to the point where, you know, it's almost Thunderdome-like. Like I said, nothing surprises me with, you know, what people can do or, you know, capacity of evil in people's minds. But,
yep,
you know,
I was at that point a long time ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, there has to be some sort of... There has to be some
sort of... Look what happened to Tiger Woods. Look what happened to Tiger Woods, all the success he went in and incident. Now he's just, you know, I'll get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there has to be some sort of independent counsel, like somebody to come in here and mentor these players, man. Just try to get another.
Nah.
Independent,
you know what
though.
We need the return of the Negro League. That's what we need.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it's funny you said that, because I told people when the NBA was on strike and LeBron James and all those cats were barnstorming and playing those charity games, those things were sold out. And they were sold out arenas.
Yeah, they were.
And to me, I don't understand why those idiots couldn't see what they were doing and that they did not have to fold. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, I was glad they did it, but they didn't see the long run. It's like they're coming to see you guys. They're not coming to see the Chicago Bulls. They're coming to see LeBron James. They're not coming to see, you know what I mean? You're the game. You're the product.
Yeah, exactly. And I pretty much fell for that whole thing too when I went to the Wizards Heat game in March. And, well, yeah, it was pretty much like around March or whatever it was. And Miami basically, like, locked up their whole, you know, number one seed or whatever it is or whatnot, right?
Right.
So, with that being known, what did the team do? They rested their players. So, if you're paying your $99 to $300 to get a ticket to see the Miami Heat, which you only see two times per season here in this area, you want to see Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and such.
Yeah.
And if you don't see him, then yeah, you're going to get mad. And since they didn't come to the games, we got to find them. No. That can't be right. So that means you got an organization that's working under another one, and so they got to follow the orders of the NBA. Because that's why the NBA fined the San Antonio Spurs. Not because
they didn't
have those guys dressed for that game against the Miami Heat in Miami. It was because they sent them home.
That's very interesting, man. When you start thinking about that type of stuff, it's, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's just I always tell people when anything, you know, when these organizations like NBA or NFL, when they get threatened, like I say, when they started barnstorming, you see how quickly the NBA was like, okay, we need to get this season back because it's getting out of control. You know, and I told everybody a couple of years ago when Vince McMahon did that XFL, he went over the top. But that scared the NFL, because if you can start pulling top players and get people to watch another product, and the XFL, it wasn't even competing with the NFL. It was just, you know, some member was on at a different time. It was on a different time of the year. It was just a different product. And, you know, if you, like I say, once you start, if you can get people to switch to a different product, that's, you know, that's like switching from Coke to Pepsi. And, you know, and like I said, these organizations, they get scared of that, man. It's like, you know, in the 80s when they tried it with the World Football League, and the World Football League started pulling stars. You know, people, major college players were choosing the World League over the NFL, you know, because they were paying more money. They just fucked with the NFL. The NFL
kind of undercut. Wasn't Rashawn Salaam one of those guys?
A lot of them were. It was, what's old boy, Herschel Walker. You know, a lot of guys, a lot of top guys.
You know,
Steve Young. You know, yeah, a lot of guys.
Oh, that's
you
like USFL and all that.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, USFL, my bad. And, and like I said, the NFL had to come out, and they, you know, they kind of screwed them over with the broadcasting rights. You know, that's really the only way they were able to defeat them, because, you know, they came out offering a similar product with the same stars, and they were paying the stars were getting better compensated. That's kind of what, you know, that's part of what made the salary spike in the NFL too, was because of the USFL. But, you know, you look at that before the 80s, you had football players making $50,000 a year. You know, after that, you know, that's when you start seeing the cats, Joe Montana's and the top cats making $5 to $6 million a year. You know, that wasn't going on before the 80s. But, you know, like I said, those kind of things, they, you know, like I said, it is possible. It's possible to do it, but, you know, it takes a maverick of a person who has enough money to do it and to back it up. And, you know, and it takes people to believe in them. And, you know, and that's the real thing. You know, a lot of these guys, like I said, they don't believe in them. You know, they won't get together for 5 minutes to, you know, you can't even get a lot of these guys to play on the same team. Maybe they won't try to open up their own, you know, start their own sports franchise. So, you know, I don't know if it can be done, but, you know, like I said, the groundwork has been laid to where, you know, you control the means of production, of course. But, you know,
I was going to say, it's only one owner I think that can pull it off right now. A current owner that could do that will probably, you never know. He could be brainstorming on it right now. It's Mark Cuban. He's a guy I think that could do something like that.
I mean, it would be possible. But, you know, like I said, you know, he's making enough money off the NBA. It would have to be an outsider kind of guy. It would have to be a guy like Michael Dell or somebody like that, or a dude who owns Oracle. He doesn't have any existing ties with anything else. He just comes in, and, you know, like I said, if Mark Cuban didn't own the, if he didn't own the Mavericks, he would probably be number one on that list. But, you know, like I said, he's already getting his bread. You know, he's got his team in the stadium, so he's not, you know, he's part of the system right now. He's not really worried about change. It would have to be either the players or somebody from the outside to do it. And, you know, more than likely it had to be somebody from the outside. Like I said, because the players, you know, for some reason these cats have too many, you know, the egos is too big, you know, which is ridiculous because, you know, a CEO or a billionaire's ego don't be too big for them to get together with another billionaire. But, you know, for some reason, like I said, two NBA players, two NFL players, you know, can't get along. But, you know, that goes towards, you know, deeper things within our own subculture. But, you know, like I said, the groundwork is there. You know, it could be done, you know. So I don't know if it's possible or if it ever will be, but, you know.
Oh, what was that? Hello?
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I had static going on.
Yeah, but, you know, anyway, like I said, you know, to go back towards the, you know, to the issue with economic and sports, it's just, you know, it's just, like I said, it's very, when these type of events happen, you know, I don't really remember what athletes were saying during the O.J. Simpson trial or the L.A. riots. You know, social media has opened up a big spotlight into people, you know, into athletes, you know, into their personal minds and stuff like that. You know, like you said before, it might only been a couple of guys like, you know, like the Jim Browns and the Muhammad Ali's who would say something, you know, but, you know, that doesn't mean that the other guys didn't want to. I think now you have social media. A lot of these guys, you know, like you said, a lot of these guys, they get pulled back, you know. Man Cruz, you know, he sent out a tweet. I think he signed this contract. He was like the day before or the after he retracted those tweets, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, I'm most certain that definitely has something to do with it. You know, these guys right now, you got the Pouncey brothers, they can't even support, you know, they can't even support Aaron Hernandez. You know, you had one of them having a, you know, wearing a 300 cap.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Well, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty in this country, but, well, like I said, they made him to drop off. They told him to shut up. And that's this dude's friend and former teammate. Hey, you know, look at how the Patriots have, you know, they're already, you know, they moved on, they got rid of the dude. Like, I don't know, you know, it's just, it's, you know, and like I said, he's, you know, he's a Latino, but, you know, they're starting to become the same category as African Americans almost. So, you know, it's, you know, it's just weird.
It's not ready for
Yeah, he already said he moved on. Yeah. I don't know. It's just very awkward. You know, it makes an awkward situation, but, you know, like I said, also lets me know that, you know, we still have a lot of unresolved issues in this country, you know, and unresolved issues.
Oh, trust me, there's a good amount of stuff that you really don't know about what goes on in this country and how, quote unquote, black people have been mistreated for all these years. And I am out to prove why that is so. Stuff that many people just don't know about, you know, claiming something or claiming a title and don't know what it really means. So that's a whole nother subject that'll just, you know, mess a lot of people's minds up right about now.
Well, maybe we have to do a special episode dedicated just towards, you know, the effects of race and sports and stuff like that. And, you know, in the future we'll try to get something like that going. And, you know, we'll have you come on and, you know, you can run the show and let us know, you know, what you think about that, you know, your views on it.
All right, you can go ahead and set it up, and then I'm going to just, you know, knock it down. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Right now, looks like we're closing in on 7:30. Clause, you're still in the studio, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because, like I said, I'm not even in front of my computer anymore. Well, you want to go ahead and close out with anything, Clause?
All right. Well, you know, like I said, this is a learning lesson for athletes, this Trayvon Martin situation. You know, you just got to be on guard, man. I mean, be on guard. Give no one the benefit of the doubt. You know, be on guard. And think about your future career after football. I mean, the money's going to run out. And also, you have to think about, you know, what you're going to do with your money. Because, you know, if you're dependent, if you're still dependent on the employer, you know, a famous quote by Mr. Amos Wilson always told me, if they make you, they can break you. See what happened.
All day, every day.
See what happened to, there's so many countless athletes that this happened to. So they were rich and now they're broke.
It's funny you said that. I forget what I was watching just yesterday. And somebody said anything given can be taken away, and that, you know, and that seems like that rings true all the time. But, you know, but
yeah. So, any final comments by anybody? Jamal, Dex?
Nah. Good show tonight.
Chi-Town?
Same here.
All right, man. James.
Hey, good show. Good to see y'all back. CMP Firestorm is back on.
Yes, we will be here next week. We will be here next week, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Check us out, CMT Firestorm. You know, we will have our NFL predictions. I don't think we talked about NFL today. We will have our NFL predictions next week. You know, it's going to be a good show. So check it out. And we will talk to you next week. Peace out.
All right.
Bye-bye, everybody.
All right. Peace out, fam.